go to John chapter 8. We will finish this chapter, Lord willing. I'm sure that you have seen the several TV commercials from Ancestry.com. Their slogan says, discover what makes you uniquely you. After all, your family story is the story that leads to you. Our parents' DNA, see, our parents' DNA carries into our DNA. So there is a resemblance, there is a similarity within the parents and the children. Thus, when people want to find out who their parents are or their children are, they do this test known as a paternity test. I'm sure you heard that word. But what about our spiritual DNA? What about our spiritual DNA? Is there any test we can take to find out who our spiritual father is? Yes, there is a test. Before we go any further, we must set the premise regarding the identity of the devil. Throughout the Bible, the devil is a very real spiritual being. It's not a fantasy. It's not somebody's comic strip character. It is described in many places, and he has many alias names, such as Satan, Destroyer, Accuser of the Brethren, Dragon and All Serpent, and Deceiver, and many other descriptive names. However, the devil is not the arch enemy of God. He's not equal with God when it comes to power. He is not all-powerful, he's not all-knowing, nor can he be everywhere like our God. He's nothing more than a mere creature. Are you with me? This is very important. He's nothing more than a mere creature which went against God. And he knows that his time is limited. At the end of that time, he was going down to the eternal death. In the meanwhile, he's doing everything he can to hurt God's heart because he knows that how much he loves humanity that is made after his own image. So he is dragging people down. But the vast majority of self-described Christians in America as well as around the world do not know the true identity of the devil. And guess what? The devil likes it that way. As long as his identity is hidden, he can operate so much better. You're going to see me tumble backward with that thing. The devil wants you to think that he's nothing more than a little imp in red jumpsuit with a little goatee, little horn on his forehead, running around doing the bad things. And all, most of the time, he's sitting on somebody's shoulder whispering bad things so you can do the mischief. He does a lot of smoke and mirror stuff. And somehow, that's how people believe. This morning, Jesus is going to teach us about the devil and his followers, his children. They thought they are the children of God. And because they have the pedigree of Abraham, their ancestor. But in reality, they are the children of the devil. I believe that this is going to be a sovereign and rude awakening for them as well as many people in the community of Christians in this world. I hope none of you are the children of the devil. And you may say, well, how can the children of the devil be in the church? You will be surprised. How many churches pretend to be the follower of Jesus Christ, but they are not? Last Sunday, before the beginning of the teaching, I mentioned about the split happening in the Calvary Chapel, right? One of the things that Brian Borderson, the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, is insisting is he wants the woman to be pastor in the Calvary Chapel, and woman to teach over men. And you ladies, who do not know the Bible will say, well, what's wrong with that? This is an equal opportunity, right? Not according to the Bible. God has a respect for man and woman as well. But when it comes to teaching the Word of God, He gives authority to man. Remember, authority comes with the responsibility. So if the man said the wrong thing, guess what? He's on his own. And you ladies will laugh all the way. You don't have that responsibility. Men are the ones who are to teach. They are the ones who have authority with being a bishop, which is elder, and deacons. And they are the one who is supposed to be a pastor, not woman. But Brian Borderson says women should teach because this is 21st century. I have a problem with that because the Word of God has a problem with that. If you start to compromise the Word of God in one area, where are you going to stop? Not compromise. Once you compromise the Word of God, there is no limit. The deception of unbelievers, the power of this deception of the unbelievers is infinite. In this case, the believer who is trying to compromise, justifying. If he insists that Calvary Chapel name cannot be used by anyone else other than themselves, fine, we'll change our church name. Maybe we'll go with the name The Uncompromising Church. That sounds cool, huh? All right, let's stop here and pray. Father, we don't want to compromise your word. Not because we agree with your opinion, because we agree with your truth. Your truth is not compromising. Your truth will not move. We want to do what your word says. We want to honor you with everything that we do, and regardless of what society wants, what the politic want, and what people want. We want to be children of God by honoring you with our words and deeds. We don't want the proximity or the pedigree through someone else. We only have one connection, that is Jesus. Father, we are praying for the President Obama and President-elect Trump, that they may do what is right in your sight. And we are praying for our troops, especially the one in the harm's way. We also pray for the law enforcement personnel and the firefighters, that you protect them, Lord. Two officers got shot in Tucson. You heal them quickly, and you continually protect them. Father, we are asking you to anoint our hearts and the one who speaks. Verse 37, please. I know that you are Abraham's descendant. Note that word, descendant. But you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you are Abraham's children, note that word, please. You would do the works of Abraham. Verse 40. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we are not born of a fornication. We have one father, God. Stop there, please. Jews claimed Abraham as their father, ancestor. But Jesus made a careful distinction. You are descendant of Abraham, physical descendant. But Abraham's not Abraham's children. Abraham's children is a spiritual descendant through Abraham's personal faith. See the difference? There's a saying, apple does not fall far from the tree. If God is your father, then you share your divine his divine nature. But if Satan is your father, guess what? You share his satanic nature. Remember what I said? What about our spiritual DNA? Here comes. 2 Peter chapter 1, please. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. I think you guys are not alike. There is all these people sitting this side and a lot of empty chairs. Is that something you guys do? All right, verse 3. As his divine power has given to all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through this you may be partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Is that a clear description of what? Our Lord did not say that every last sinner is a child of the devil. Though every last sinner is certainly the child of wrath and disobedience, they will have the same end result. One of the greatest skills of the devil is a subtle deception that makes unbelievers think that they are the masters of their life, their own destiny, and captain of their own ship. I'm sure you heard that story, right? I'm the master of my own destiny and captain of my ship. Yeah, fat chance. That's why you're going down the drain. But if the truth is known, the unbelievers are completely controlled by Satan, whether they know or not. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of flesh and of the mind, whereby the nature children of death, just as the others. We were. We are not saved because we are so good people. I know some of you think you are perfect. You are not. Surprise, right? You are not perfect, and you are not even nearly perfect. Only reason why you got saved is because you are far from perfect, like me. In protest, some of the unbelievers will say, "No way I believe in God. I'm almost saved." Wow, really? Can you tell a woman who is pregnant, you're almost pregnant? And if you say that, if you have audacity to say that, be ready to duck. Another one, just side note, no extra charge. If you see a lady who is pregnant or rather heavy, don't say, "When are you due?" Especially when she's your boss. You may not have your paycheck coming up next time. And another guys, don't say, "Wow, you're big." Even though she might be big, that's not a compliment when the lady is pregnant. Okay? Just keep your mouth zipped so you don't get whacked later. These Jewish religious rulers who are arguing with Jesus majored in religion. They were professional religious people. If you translate it, like they are the pastors, they are priests, they are religious leaders, that's all they do. Even though they were genetically related to Abraham, physically related, genetically related, they are miles apart spiritually. As I taught you before, pedigree, proximity, or credential from other men do not make a person a true follower of God. Are you with me on that? At least in Calvary Chapel, where I am associated, like a Calvary Tucson, where I got the ordination paper, and where we issued the ordination paper, it does not say that we ordain this man. It says we acknowledge the ordination call of God of this man. Man's ordination doesn't mean a thing. Are you with me on that? It's nothing more than a piece of paper you can print out from your computer, through your printer. That doesn't mean nothing more than a piece of paper. But the call of God is a different thing. God anoints you. God put your word. I said this before. Unless God put the word in the man's mouth, there's nothing worth hearing. Go to John chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Did you get that? Our salvation has nothing to do with you, what you do, how good looking we are, or what kind of pedigree we have. You can have a PhD, the doctor of theology, or PhD, I guess, doctor of divinity. Doesn't mean a squat to God. You just study for a long time. That's about it. Back to chapter 8, please. Verse 42. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceed forth, it came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil. You talk about direct approach, right? And the desire of your father you want to do. He is a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. I want you to pay attention to what Jesus is speaking here. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. For he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convict me of sin? If I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear, because you are not of God. I talked about the paternity test at the beginning of our study. So let's do the paternity test to see who our spiritual father is, God or Satan. And I don't mean to you say that your father is a Satan. Just in general, never mind. We need to set up the premises by what they do, so we can compare what we do with them. Start with God. God speak the truth in verse 40. Is that true? All right. Second person we're going to see is the devil. He is a murderer from the beginning, verse 44. And he does not stand in the truth, and because there's no truth in him. Verse 44. And the devil is a liar, and he's the father of it. Verse 44. All true? All right, how about the children of God? They do and speak what God the Father wants, according to the word of God. That is the Bible in verse 38. And they love Jesus in verse 42. And children of God hears God's word and what? Obey it. That's the key point in verse 47. All right. So you qualify that? You're fitting into that description? What about the children of the devil? They sought to kill Jesus literally in verse 37. And they did. Their spiritual descendants are here in the United States. They are doing the same kind of thing socially. With the help of ACLU attorneys, as well as other liberal religious people. They are trying to remove God's word. They did from the school. They removed the prayer from the school. And the grade got low. And the kids got high, and they wonder why. And they call these liberal religious people call themselves progressive Christians. It's not a good thing. I saw the street sign on Broadway and Craycroft, northeast corner. There's a church. Big, gigantic sign says progressive church. In other words, they have nothing to do with the Word of God. They will pull out the Bible verse out of context to insist their ways. It's the same old deceptive demonic content with a new wrapping. The children of God have a new place in Jesus' word in their heart, in verse 37. And they do what the devil wants them to do, in verse 38. And they do not listen to God's word, and nor do they obey, in verse 43 and 47. I hope none of you are in this category. Our obedience and disobedience to the word of God only proves a true relationship with which Father we have. If you do the things that fall into the fourth category, the children of the devil is your father. If you fall into the category of third character, the children of God, you are obeying God's word, then you are a child of God. Okay, there is an occasional lapse of sins. That's not what I'm talking about. We have a sinful nature, so we tend to sin, don't we? We may not do actual sin, but in our mind we do. That's the same thing in God's word, and according to the word of Jesus, it's the same thing as a sin. If you have a lustful thought, if you have a prideful thought, it's the same thing as you've done it. That's not what the word of God is speaking. But it's rather consistent and willful defiance to the word of God. I know what the word of God says, but I'm going to do it anyway. Yeah, now you have a problem. Whenever you say, I know what the Bible says, but you just ignored everything you said in the... Do you think we just say this, the word of God is the absolute truth and final authority, we just do that for a heck of it? People don't accept this word of God as the final authority, so they do whatever they want to do, and they wonder why their life is falling apart. Let me give you a clue. Hello? You don't do what the word of God says. Go down to the verse 48, please. Then the Jews answered and said to him, do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan, have a demon? Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. These religious leaders had their spiritual security on two things. First, they knew of God, and they had His law, Ten Commandments, and all the things written in Leviticus, and Numbers, and Deuteronomy. They thought that they were obeying, but they rather follow their own oral traditions more than what the Word of God says. They are literally overriding the Word of God with their oral traditions. And by doing so, they are going against God's truth and intention. Secondly, they were the children, descendants of Abraham, which they thought they secured their instant get-out-of-hell card. No matter what. There are people who have the religion in their heart, and they think that they're going to go to heaven no matter what. Guess what? If you do whatever you want to do, carnal things, you don't go to heaven. I don't care how religious you are. I don't care what kind of robe you're wearing. That's not what the Word of God says. Jesus destroyed both of these securities to lay bare their naked sinfulness that He might give them the garment of His own righteousness. They would not accept Him. Because they want to ignore the truth, when the truth is standing right in front of them, they cannot see the truth. These religious rulers called Jesus Samaritan, which is one of the most despised races to the Jews and demon-possessed. Two names. They could not make name-calling any worse than calling someone Samaritan. It's like a Ku Klux Klan, KKK, and the Black Panthers going after each other. They had more racial problem in that country during that time than we have in our country. Samaritans are the mixed breed between the Jews and the Assyrians, the one who conquered their land and occupied it for a long time. Jews did not like Gentiles. They hated, the Jews hated the Samaritans far worse than the Gentiles. Let me put it in my term. I'm from South Korea. South Korea, entire Korea was occupied by the Japanese at Japan for 36 years. After America liberated us, the South side, and the Russia liberated the North side, we hated, literally hated Japanese, despised them. And there were a lot of mixed breed from the marriage between Japanese and Korean. Many people that's not as bad as some of the American GIs left their children in Korea. Some of them call it emigration. They were despised. See, between the Japanese and Korean people, you cannot really tell the difference. They all have a slant eyes. But emigration, they had round eyes. To Korean people, having a genealogy is important. Having somebody with a light hair, with a brown eyes, round eyes, is a serious problem. Racial problem is not just limited in the United States. It's everywhere. Where does it coming from? Pride. All right, go down to the verse 51, please. Most assuredly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Then the Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead and the prophet, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? The prophets are dead. Whom do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And I said, I do not know him. I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Stop there again. They called Jesus' names mercilessly, but he extended mercy to them and showed them the way of salvation to heaven. This is a great practice we should pay attention. And you may say, what are you talking about? Let's say you're driving your vehicle, minding your own business on I-19. You have a bumper sticker or the window sticker like a Calvary Chapel of Sarita. And all of a sudden, somebody cuts you off and they say something through their window and you cannot quite make it up, but it doesn't look like it's a good word. And they start to wave at you with one finger only. Okay, you can lower your standard, wave it back at them with one finger. Or you can just smile and wave at them with all five fingers. Do not lower yourself to them. Their standard. Why? Because you are better than that. You are the children of God. Act like one. Talk like one. Think like one. And some of you are thinking, oh, bummer.
Yeah.
With a solemn affirmation, most assuredly I say to you, Jesus declared that any man who received his message would not experience death. This is the summary of his mission. He came to die that we may have eternal life. Because he came to destroy the devil's work and undo the penalty for sin pronounced in the Garden of Eden. Remember that? And you say, no. Okay, go to Genesis chapter 2. Way in the front. Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall what? Surely die. What kind of death? Not just a physical death, you will have a spiritual death. That's why we use the word born again. Born from above. Jesus says, if you anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. This is a tremendous statement itself. Let me tell you this way, Christians. If you are already born again believer, you are already experiencing eternal life on earth and continuing in heaven later. And you may say, I don't get it. It will happen within millisecond, 1 millionth second. You are alive here moment. You are breathing and you draw the last breath and you die. You're absent from this body and present with the Lord. Tell me that is not good word. And there's no lingering state in between. One moment you are on earth, next moment you are in heaven and worshiping our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with the millions upon millions of saints who went before us. Do you know someone who died? He is a believer. He or she is a believer in Christ. And they'll say, why, it's about time for you to show up. So what a day that will be. Do you know what's better part of that is? It is your first day in heaven, and there is an eternity to follow. Do you know what the best part of that is? I like the way someone said, if Jesus is not in heaven, it's not heaven. Only reason why it's heaven. Verse 56, please. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old. And have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before, I want you to underline, highlight, circle, whatever you want to do, I want you to note this one. Before Abraham was, what's the next two words say? I am. Then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. God did not give Abraham any special vision of the Lord Jesus' life and the ministry, but he gave Abraham the spiritual perception to see these future events. By faith, just like the book of Hebrews said, Abraham saw the birth of Messiah in the miraculous birth of his own son Isaac. He certainly saw the Calvary when he offered Isaac to God in Genesis chapter 2. In the priestly ministry of the Melchizedek in chapter 14, Abraham could see the heavenly priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the marriage of Isaac in chapter 24, Abraham could see the picture of the marriage of the Lamb of God and the church. Jesus' statement in verse 58 can be translated, before Abraham was born, I am. And this is one of the most definite proclamation of Jesus' divinity in the whole New Testament. There are three mentions in the chapter 8, verse 24 and 28 and here. And you may say, what's so special about I am? It's transpiring from the past to the present and future. It was not I was, or I have been, or I'm going to, or I will. Always I am, because He is above our timeline. Only God can do that. The most difficult people to win to Savior was that the one who does not realize that they have need. You might be one of them because you think you are a good person, because you are religious enough. You've been in the church. Guess what? If there are people who are religious enough, it would be Pharisees and Sadducees of the ancient Israel. They had this religious down pat. They know the law of God like the back of their hand. But they are far, as I mentioned, as Jesus mentioned, they are far from Jesus, far from truth, and far from the God the Father. Why? Because they did not have, they failed spiritual paternity test. Did you pass? I hope that you passed. If you have Jesus in your heart as your Savior and Lord, and you are obeying Him continuously, that's the, if you are obeying Him, that doesn't give you the salvation. That shows the proof of your salvation. Are you with me on that? Your life should be changed drastically, day and night, before your conversion and after your conversion. If you're doing the same thing that what you've been doing, how do you know you are truly saved? If God is your Father through Jesus, then heaven is your home. But if He is not your Father through Jesus Christ, then hell is your destiny. Three applications. Number one, pedigree, proximity, or credentials from other men do not make a person a true follower of. Second application, our obedience and disobedience to the God's word only proves our true relationship with Jesus. Third application, true Christian love can only be seen through what we do to others. Remember, waving at others with all five fingers instead of just one? Not what we say. Amen?